Okay, good evening. Welcome back to Malachim Aleph. So we are learning tonight Perek Chaf. We'll do about half the Perek tonight, Amir Hashem, and then we'll get to the other half tomorrow night. So not tomorrow night, next week, Amir Hashem. We ended last week. Eliyahu is kind of this incident, this run-in, so to speak, with Hashem, and Hashem tells him, "Listen, Eliyahu, you got to relax." Eliyahu, he anoints the kings. He anoints the king over Aram, Hazael. He anoints the king Yehu ben Nimshi, the Melech al Yisrael, and he anoints Elisha as the Navi, who's going to take his place. Okay, this was pretty much the end of the Perek. I'm sorry?
Is Achav still king?
Achav still the king.
Even though he anointed.
Yeah. Achav is still the king, and that's the end of the parak, is that the reign is right, right, that was this parak. No, that was a previous parak, sorry, got confused. But but Achav is still the king. And all right, I'm sorry, the end of parak Yutes was with Elisha, that he went to anoint Elisha, and he gave him the signal that Elisha was going to take over. Elisha understood. And they made this big party at the end. That was the end of Perek Yotes. Okay. Now, Perek Chaf begins with the current Melech Aram, who's Ben Hadad. Ben Hadad is the current Melech Aram. Ben Hadad is someone that we spoke about earlier in Perek Tesvav. And he was, as they call him here in the bottom of the art scroll, a long-standing enemy of the 10 tribes. He was somebody that... It was already a long-standing Oyev Yisrael, and says the pasuk Aleph, Uven Hadad Melech Aram Kovatz Es Kol Chelo. He gathered his entire troop. Ushloshim Ushnayim Melech Ito, not just him, but 32 other kings, 32 other kings who shared his hatred for Bnei Yisrael. Besus Varechev. Horses, chariots, the works. Vayaal, vayotzar al shomron, vayilochem ba. So he comes up and he besieges Shomron. Shomron is where Achav is ruling from, and he wages war. Vayilochem, he wages war against Shomron. Now we'll see. He's not actually attacking yet, but he's setting up. He's setting up, getting ready to attack, and we'll see what happens with this battle. But he's getting ready to go. Mitzudas Tov, it says, Vesus Varechev, many, many horses and chariots, enough for 32 kings and their armies. So you can imagine this was quite a formidable force. This was a serious force that was coming to fight with Israel. This wasn't just some guerrilla warfare here. These were real armies, 32, right? 33 nations total. Pretty serious. Now he realizes, listen, I'm not just gonna attack out of the blue. So he sends him a message. You can surrender now. Vayishlach malachim el Achav, melech Yisrael ha'ira. So he sends a message. He sends messengers into the city to the king, to Achav melech Yisrael. Vayomer lo ko amar ben Hadad. Kaspecha uzehavcha lihu. So he says, so says Ben Hadad, all of your money, all of your silver and your gold is now mine. Vinoshecha uvanecha hatovim lihem. And your wives and your children, the good ones, I don't know, the good wives or the good children, I'm not sure exactly what the good ones, but the best ones you have, mine. Everything is mine. Okay, now that's quite the statement. Right? Now, how's Achav going to respond to this? Posek Dalet, Vayan Melech Yisrael, Vayomer, Kidvarcha Adoni Amelech, Lecha Ani V'chol Asherli. He says 100%. Whatever you say is correct. He calls him Adoni Amelech. Right? This is a king talking. Achav. Adoni Amelech. That's how he refers to this king, Ben Hadad, Melech Aram. And he says, I and everything that I have are yours. Right? L'cha ani v'chol asher li. Wow. Okay, now, what's going on here? What did Ben-Hadad think? Right? What was he saying? What did Achav think? So the Radak says that the way Achav understood the first message of Ben-Hadad is not that I physically want to take everything that belongs to you, your gold, your silver, your wives, your children. I don't want to take all of that, but I want it under my rule, and I'm going to tax you like other nations. You have a king who conquers another society. He doesn't necessarily physically take and loot everything that they have, but now these are all his subjects. This is all his wealth, meaning I now have control, I now have sovereignty, and I'm going to tax you just like I tax my subjects. So to that, Achav says, you got it. You got it. Why? Because he's scared, right? He's Ben-Hadad with 32 kings and their armies. Achav realizes he doesn't stand a chance. So instead of being led like sheep to the slaughter, he says, you know what? Okay, no problem. So we'll pay taxes. Better than getting killed, right? Paying taxes better than getting killed. So that's why he agrees. Pasuk Hey. So the Malachim return, and then they say, "Komar ben Adad lemor, ki shalachti elecha lemor, kaspecha uzahavcha v'nashecha uvanecha li tzitein." So now the Malachim come back and they say, "No, no, we don't think you understood exactly what we meant. What we meant was not just I want to tax all of your people." And I want to have sovereignty over all of your people. I want everything mine. I want it to be mine. I want to take it. I want to take it. Says the Radak. Okay, now he was clarifying what exactly he wanted to do. Now, Rashi learns a little differently. Rashi learns that, no, this is not, you know, like a Havamina Maskana that he thought one thing and then he was clarified another thing. The Malachim here are saying, we knew you were going to say yes to that. But now we have an additional demand. Now we have something additional. Pasuk Vav, ki im ka'es machar, eshlach es avodai elecha v'chipsu es beisecha v'yezbote avodecha. Tomorrow, at this time, I'm going to send my servants, and they're going to look and search your house, the house of your servants, v'hoya kol machmad einecha, yosimu v'yadam v'lokachu. Everything, machmadeinecha, everything that you enjoy, everything that you appreciate, everything that you value, they will take. Yosimu v'yadam v'lakachu. Now again, pashut pshat is that this is something extra, right? What's the machmadeinecha? So in the Tzudas Tav it says, if you don't give me, and you know, so Mitzvah 7 learns he's saying an additional threat here. If you don't give me what I want, then tomorrow I'm going to send everyone, and they're going to have to take, and they're going to take everything. They're going to take even more than I'm demanding now. Everything that's precious to you. That's how the Mitzvah 7 understands, according to the Pashup Shah. However, Rashi and the Radak here both quote Chazal, who say, what is this Pasuk adding? What do we refer to as machmad or nechmad or nechemadin? Mizahav umipaz, Torah. Right, Torah is referred to as nechmad mizahav umipaz. So kol machmad einecha is referring to the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah. Every king we know carried a Sefer Torah with him. Achav was a Melech Yisrael. As much as Achav was an over Averos, he was an Oved Avodah Zarah, he did all sorts of terrible things, he led others to do all sorts of terrible things, but at the end of the day, he had a Sefer Torah. He had a Sefer Torah. Comes Ben-Hadad and says, I want it. Why he wanted it, maybe it was like an artifact, you know, a relic, this is something special, you know, obviously it's a holy work, I want it. I want the Sefer Torah. And that's what he was referring to as kol machmad einecha. Now, what we find is that they're going to they're going to, you know, withstand this. They're going to say, well, not, you can't take this. You can't take the Sefer Torah. Now, what's strange is that even though, as Rashi says, even though they worshipped Avodah Zarah, there was still a Kavodah Torah. There's still a Kavodah Torah, even for a Jew who worships Avodah Zarah. I noticed on the bottom of the article, they tell a beautiful story here. Sometimes, usually the article doesn't tell stories on the bottom. But they tell a beautiful story of the time of the Shoah, and there was a town in Galicia, and there was, you know, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, they used to make a mockery of everything. So what they do, they took the Sefer Torah from the town, and they unrolled it in the street. They unrolled it in the street, Rachmana Litzlan. And they pointed to one of the Jews of the town, and they said, "Nu, run on it, you know, trample it." And this Jew was a Frayayid, was not Shomer Torah Mitzvos, denounced, you know, many aspects of Judaism in his past, refused. They said, "If you don't go, we're going to kill you." And he gave up his life. Right? This Jew was not Shomer Torah Mitzvos. But there's certain things that a Jew can't do. Right? No matter how far sometimes a Jew goes, there's certain things a Jew can't do. Achav, with all of his Averos and all of his Avodah Zarah, there was a line he couldn't cross. And this was it. According to Chazal, Komachma Denecha Yasimu V'Yadam V'Lakachu. Says the Navi, Vayikra Melech Yisrael L'chol Ziknei Ha'aretz. So he realizes, I can't make this decision on my own, right? This is something that I have to consult the Zakenim. Also says the Radak, he recognized, it's not mine, right? This is not my Sefer Torah to decide that I'm giving or not giving. I have to consult with the Zakenim, right? The Zakenim are the ones, the elders. These are the ones that that are in charge of this. He consulted with the Zakenim. Vayikra Melech Yisrael L'chol Ziknei Haaretz Vayomer. De'u na'u re'u. Know and see what's going on here. Ki ra'a ze mevakesh. Look how evil his request is. Ki shalach elai l'noshai ulevonai urachaspi v'liza havai v'lo manati mimenu. He asked for all of these things, and I said yes. He asked for my gold, my silver, my wives, my children. I said sure. Lo manati. Right now, again, depending on how you learn this. According to the Radak, Lomanati means, because at first I thought he only wanted to rule over them and tax them. So I said yes. Right? Lomanati says the Mitzudas Tavit is a rhetorical question. Lomanati? Should I not withhold these things? Should I not withhold everything? And says the Mitzudas Tavit, you see now he's making impossible demands. Right? What happens? Someone makes a demand. I say yes. They make another demand. I say yes. They keep going and going and going to the point where the demands become impossible. If the demands become impossible, what do you want? Do you want peace or you want war? Right? What do you want? Obviously, if you're demanding, demanding, demanding to the point where you're making impossible demands, you don't want peace. You want war. That's what they want. Interesting. I didn't see that in the Mefarshim. It could be. It could be, sorry. Meaning Eliyahu was so angry that the Bnei Yisrael Ovid Avazar and Hashem is showing, but I was suggesting Hashem is showing that here, look, you know, with all of the Averos and all of the Avarozara, but look, they still maintain a certain kavod. They still maintain a certain dedication to me and to my Torah. Possible. I didn't see that. Could be. Could be. Okay. So what's the reaction? Vayom Reilov Kolaz Kanim, the Chol Ha'am, Al Tishma Velo Soveh. Everyone answers, Bepechon. The Zakanim, and interestingly, the Chol Ha'am. It's not meaning he just consulted the Zakanim, but everybody knew what was going on. And everyone said together, you can't do this. Right, this is the line. You can't cross this line. This is the red line. So, Vayomer leMalachei ben Hadad, Imru laAdoni haMelech. Go back and tell again. Right, language of respect, Adoni haMelech. Kol asher shalachta el avducha v'rishona ese. Whatever you ask the first time, I'll do. Right, you want a tax? You want a rule? No problem. Right, I do not object to that. But But what you just asked for, you want the Sefer Torah, Machmar Einecha? No, that I can't do. Vayelchu Amalochim, Vayeshivuhu Tavon. And they went back and they told Ben-Hadad. Okay? Now, fascinating. Says the Radak, he quotes Chazal, that if you count the words in this Pasuk, there are 22 words in this Pasuk. If you count Ben-Hadad as one word, because Ben-Hadad is a name, so it's one word. So if you like Bathsheba, whatever, right? Ben-Hadad. If you count that, 22 words. In the Zchus, right? So why 22 words? So how many years did Achav rule? 22 years, right? Why was Achav Zoche to rule 22 years? Achav was a Rasha. He was an Oved Avodah Zarah. Why was he Zoche to rule 22 years? Because he protected the cover of the Torah, which was written with the 22 letters of the Aleph base. Right? Because of that, say Chazal, he was Zoche to rule 22 years. Fascinating, right? If you see, with all of his rishus, and I'm sure he's going to be punished, you know, for all of this, for all of these terrible things that he did. But if you, when you show Kavod HaTorah, right, you show Kavod HaTorah, you get Tzchar. You get Tzchar, 22 years as a melech. 22 years. Unbelievable. Okay. Pasuk Yud. Okay. So that's the message, right? Achav is sending back a hard line message. And by the way, it's clear Achav knew he was going to be wiped out, right? This basically was a suicide message. He knew. If Achav thought he had a chance, he wouldn't have given in to all those things in the beginning. Why did he give in to all of those requests? Because he knew he didn't have a chance. So now he's sending back this message where he's playing hardball. That's like a suicide mission. But it doesn't matter. When it comes to Kavod HaTorah, it doesn't matter. He's got to put his foot down. It doesn't matter.
So rejecting their request of taking the wives?
No. He says, I'm willing to do that. Kol asher shalach telav de chavar rishona eser. The first request is fine.
First request would be taxation.
Okay, so it depends how you're learning it. Yeah. So it seems according to the Radak, yes, he's going back to that first request. According to the Radak, he said, yeah, the first request, you want to rule over us, you want to tax us, no problem, right? But this I can't do. This I can't do. Now, what about according to the Radak? What about the middle request? Right, where he's saying, I want to take your money and your gold and your silver and your wives and your children. I'm not sure about that. Okay. Pasuk Yud. Vayishlach elav ben Hadad vayomer. So ben Hadad sends back a message and he says, Ko yasum li Elohim v'cho yosifu. Right? He swears. Now, it's really Elohim. He's swearing by his God. Right? That he's swearing by his gods. Im yispok afar shomron l'sha'olim v'chol ha'am asher b'raglai. So all the Mefarshim explain what he's saying here. He's exaggerating, but he's basically threatening that I have such a large and powerful force, there's not enough dirt in all of Shomron to stick to the feet of all of my people, right? You know, my guys are going to walk through. I have so many people, there won't be any dirt left. Right? Or alternatively, some of Farshim say, if each of my soldiers grabs a fistful of dirt, there won't be any dirt left in Shomron. That's how many soldiers I have. Do you understand what you're saying? Right? You're refusing me. You understand what you're doing? You understand what you're saying? Pasuk Yud Aleph. So now, you know, okay, now you're talking, as they say in sports, you know, you're talking trash. Now you're starting to, you know, you're starting to brag. Right? So Achav says, I can also throw one. Vayan Melech Yisrael Vayomer, Dabru Al Yishalel Choger Kimefateach. He says a person who's putting on his sword shouldn't boast like someone who's taking off his sword. What does that mean? The Farshim say, Rashi says, you're coming back from battle, you have a reason to boast. You survived, you killed the enemy, you have what to boast about. Don't boast when you're putting on your sword. You don't know how this is going to end. Right? Don't be so cocky. Don't be so arrogant. Don't be so full of yourself. You're just putting on your sword now. You don't know how this is going to end. You don't know if you're going to come back in one piece. Right? Don't be so cocky before you even fight the battle. Okay, Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayiki Shmoa Es Hadavar Hazeh. So the message gets back to Ben-Hadad. Right? This message of a counter threat, so to speak, from Achav. V'hu Shoseh. is drinking. Hu v'hamalachim basukos. He and all the other kings, the 32 kings, they're drinking in their huts. Over these huts, the Mefarshim say, were built because to protect them from the sun. Right? That's what Rashi says. And that's why they built these huts. And they're drinking. Now, drinking implies they're very relaxed. Right? They're not concerned. They're not anxious. They're not nervous. They're having a party. You know, before they go into battle, they're drinking. They're having l'chaims. Vayomer alav adov, simu, vayasimu al ha'ir. So Ben-Hadad gets the message. He's drinking. He's having l'chaims, and he says to his men, start the battle. Right? Get ready. Rashi says, prepare to lay siege to the city, as we saw in the very first pasuk, that's what he's going to do. Hadad says, prepare to do battle with the city, whatever it was. I'm sorry, the Mitzvah HaSavet is the one that explained the huts. It's because of the sun, not Rashi. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vihine. Now all of a sudden we have a curveball out of left field. In the middle, right? Right now we think, you know, Achav is on a suicide mission. You know, what's going on here over here? Right? You know, he's putting he's drawing the line in the sand. It's very nice of him, but he's about to get decimated by Ben-Hadad and his 32 armies. All of a sudden, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vihine Navi Echad, Nigash El Achav. All of a sudden, there's a Navi, and he comes, he knocks on Achav's door, El Achav Melech Yisrael, Vayomer, Ko Amar Hashem, Ha-Ra'isa Es Kol HaHamon HaGadol Hazeh. You see this gigantic force that Ben-Hadad and his other allies brought with them. Hinini nos no biyadcha hayom. They're yours. You're going to defeat them today. Biyadata ki ani Hashem. And then you'll know truly that I am Hashem. Okay, Chazal say, we didn't learn about this person yet, but Chazal say that this Navi was Michiyahu ben Yimala, ben Ye'or Yamla. We're going to learn about him in Perek Chof Beis. Elisha. I, it's a good question, but Elisha apparently was just anointed. You know, so he's not I don't think he's practicing. He was not a practicing Navi just yet. Yeah, I don't know, more powerful, but he was already established, I guess. I don't know. This is the first we're hearing about him.
Right, so why send him as opposed to...
Probably Elisha's in training, you know, I don't know. Basic training for Nebuah. Yeah.
They don't know,
they're not part of this. They're not part of this. This was just this sounds like this was just a fight against Achav. You know, this was the battle against Achav. Okay? Now, and so why is he pointing out how Ra'isa is called Ha'amon? Says in the Tzudah Sava, very simple. It's to emphasize the nace. Look at all of this huge army. Right, it's going to be an ace, but I'm going to do it for you. So, right, that's what Hashem is telling Achav through the Navi. This will be an ace, but I'm going to do it for you. Now, Vayomer Achav b'mi. So Achav says, okay, who? Who's going to fight? Right, it's not like Achav has such a big army. Remember, many people were killed. Right, all the Avodah Zarah were killed. Vayomer ko amar Hashem benare sore hamedinos. The young men, these were sorry, the young men, the youth of the officers of the Medinos, Vayom, okay, so who is that? Who are these people? So a bunch of different interpretations in the Mefarshim. Rashi says that these were foreign kings and officers. And in those days, there was a lot of mistrust. And Achav, you know, was nervous that all these people would rebel against him. So as almost like collateral to make sure that they wouldn't rebel, he held their sons in captivity. These were sons that they were living with Achav. They were like almost like hostages. I mean, he may have, you know, treated them nicely, but this was like guarantees that you're not going to rebel against me because I have your son. So I'm going to kill him if you do. Right? So this was like a guarantee that these foreign nations would not rebel against him. The Radak has another interpretation that maybe these were the sons of noblemen. And apparently in those days, the sons of noblemen grew up in the king's palace, right? He had an area for these people, okay, wherever they were. But either way, says the Mitzudas David, these people, this was not a large force, right? This was not a large force. We'll see. It's only a couple hundred people, right? These young men. And also, they're untrained. These were princes. They weren't soldiers. These weren't, you know, tough warriors. These were, you know, they were used to, you know, the lap of luxury, probably. These were princes. This was a small, untrained army. But that was the answer. Benare Sari Amadinos. That's who's going to fight for you.
So he never had an army before, or general, or anybody?
Presumably he did have an army before. But again, once Elio came, and this whole story with Elio and Hara Carmel, a lot of people were killed, right? All the Ovdei Avodah Zarah were killed, right? And we learned 7,000 people survived who never did Avodah Zarah. But, you know, those people also weren't his soldiers. You know, so his army, whatever army he had, was pretty much decimated, and, you know, to this point. And now this question is fascinating. So says Achav, okay, that's my army. Who's leading the army? Who's leading the army? Mi yesor ha-milchama, vayomer ata. He says, you're going to lead the army. Now, why would he think he's not going to lead the army? Fascinating. So says the Radak, because once he heard from the Navi that this whole thing is going to be a big nace, he's thinking to himself, well, then I can't be in the front. Right? If Hashem is making a nace to save Bnei Yisrael here, I'm not zoche to that nace. I'm an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Who am I? I can't be in front leading the charge here for some miraculous victory. Hashem says, Ata, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. Pasuk says, Vav, Vayifkod is Nare Sari Amadinos. So he calls together all these young men, the Sari Amadinos, the sons of the Sari Amadinos, and he counts them, Vayiyu Masayim Shnayim Ushloshim, 232. That's it. Right? Not a very big force against 32 kings, 33 kings, and their armies. Right? So we're talking about a tiny little force here, to 232 untrained soldiers. The Achareyim, Pokad es kol ha'am, kol b'nei Yisrael shivas alafim. After them, after the soldiers, he counted another 7,000. Okay? Now, 7,000 right away comes to mind. These were the 7,000 that didn't worship Avodah Zarah that still remained, that survived, right, that whole situation. And that's, some of the Mefarshim say, yeah, maybe that's what we're talking about here. Maybe it was those 7,000. Others say that, no, maybe this was just, it happens to be a coincidence that it's the same number, 7,000, 7,000. But maybe the Radak says, maybe that already there was a force in Shomron that had gathered from other cities. Once they heard what was going on, Ben-Hadad is threatening. So a bunch of, you know, the you know, the, what do they call it? The Tzav Shemona, you know, the call went out, and all these people started coming in from all the different cities to join the force, and it ended up being 7,000 soldiers. It says the Mitzudah Seven, maybe there were only 7,000 soldiers who could fight and were trained to fight. But again, some of them understand that these were the 7,000 who were the ones who did not worship Avodah Zarah. So he's got 232, right? Nare Sare Amadinos. He's got these 7,000 soldiers behind him. Again, 7,000 helps, but it's still not a huge, huge force. Pasuk says Zayin, Vayetze Batzorayim, they go out in the afternoon. Uven Hadad Shose Shikor Basukos. Ben Hadad is Mamish plastered. He's drunk, right? He's drunk. Hu v'amalachim shloshim u'shnai melech ozer oso. They're all drunk. They're drunk in their meal. And again, says the Radak, you see here that they weren't very nervous, right? Obviously, they weren't very anxious about this battle because they were all stone drunk. So obviously, they didn't care too much. They didn't think much of this. Pasuk Yudzayin. Vayetzu Nare Sari Amadinos Varishona. So these young men of the Sari Amadinos, they go out first. Vayishlach ben Adad, Vayagidu lo lemor, Anashim Yotzu Mishomro. And they send a message to Ben Adad. Ben Adad sends out Vayishlach ben Adad. Ben Adad sends out people to check out what's going on. He had his people, his scouts that were looking and seeing what was going on, and they came back to tell him they're coming, right? The army is coming from Shomra. This is Achav's army. They're coming out. Vayomer im l'shalom yotzau tifsum chayim. So he says, if they're coming in peace, then tivsum chayim, capture them alive, keep them alive. The imle milchama yatsa'u chayim tivsum. But if they're coming for war, so then chayim tivsum. Chaim tifsum, the alive capture them. Okay? So now ve'ele yatsu min ha'ir, nare sari amedinos. So these the nare sari amedinos come out from the city, ve'achay l'asher acharehem, and the 7,000 come out after them, ve'yaku ish isho. So they start slaughtering them. Right? They start fighting with Ben Hadad's forces. Ve'yanusu aram, and they're winning. And the soldiers of Aram start running. Vayir defame Yisrael. And the Bnei Yisrael chase them. Vayimolet Ben Hadad Melech Aram al susu farashim. Ben Hadad himself sees what's going on. He says, I got to get out of here. He jumps on a horse, jumps in a chariot, and he runs. And he escapes. Vayetze Melech Yisrael. Vayach es asus yes harechev. Vihiko va'aram mako gedola. And now Achav, right, the Melech Yisrael, he comes out, and he also, right, again, like we said, he's leading them in battle, and he comes out, and he wipes out all these, the horses and the chariots, and creates a big, big loss within Aram. Vayigash Hanovi El Melech Yisrael Vayomer Lo Lech Yischazak V'da Ure'ei Eisa Shvetase. So he says after the war, he says, go, be mechazek yourself, right? Get yourself together. You know, after the war, they lost some people. You know, they have to regroup. Why? Because a year from now, the Melech Aram is going to come back and he's going to fight with you again. The Avdei Melech Aram Amruei Love, the king, the servants, I'm sorry, of the Melech Aram, tell him, come and tell him, Elokei Harim Elokeihem. Their God, he's the God of mountains. Al Kein Chozku Mimenu. That's why he was strong over you. He defeated you. He's the God of mountains. They were stronger than us. V'ulam Nilochem Itam Bamishor. So we have to change the battlefield. The reason why they were victorious, we were fighting in the mountains. And their God is the God of mountains. We have to now change and fight on the plain. Mishor, we'll find a nice, plain, flat area. That's where we're going to fight. Imlo nechzak mehem. If we're not stronger than them, then maybe we'll win because we're going to fight on this other plain, this Mishor. Yes, adover azeh asay, and do the following. That everyone, all the kings, should switch, should move, and should appoint captains instead of them. And you should appoint for yourself a force, just like the force that was killed. Right? You got to replenish the ranks, get new soldiers, new blood. Fresh legs. Vesus kasus ferechev karechev. Replace the horses. Replace the chariots. Benilochama osam bamishor. Let's fight them in the Mishor. We'll have better luck because their God is not going to be as powerful in the Mishor. Imlo nechazak meyem vayishma lekolam vayaskin. And that's what he does. And he begins to be mechazek himself. Okay, stop here for tonight. We want to drop early, but we'll stop here about halfway through the parak. And Mr. Shem will pick up tomorrow. But we see the Achav, despite what's just fascinating in this parak, despite all of his challenges and all of his averus and all of his avodah zara, but there was a schus that remained for him, and that schus was the schus of the Kavod HaTorah, that he drew the red line and he said that I'm not giving into, and that was what caused him to rule all these years to be victorious, you know, even a miraculous victory when he thought I don't deserve the miracle, I don't deserve the victory. Hashem said Ata. You're going to go and you're going to rule over them. Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
Thank you. Hey, Rabbi.
Thank you for joining.
Thank you. Very good.
Hi.